Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, we start with a good martini that's actually very good. We haven't had a lot of those lately, but one of the things we've been railing against from the get-go of the Three Martini Lunch is Obamacare. And there are so many different aspects of this that are horrific, most notably the individual mandate, which we firmly believe is unconstitutional, and hopefully the Supreme Court will agree here in the coming months. But another issue that the Obama administration raised during the debate about why this would actually save taxpayers money was the so-called CLASS program. It was a brainchild of Ted Kennedy, so you know it's going to be financially responsible. And basically the idea was that healthy workers would pay for long-term insurance at a very low premium, and then once they retired, if they became disabled, they would get a daily stipend from this program of about $50 or so. The administration didn't seem to care about arguments at the time of the debate that this has no hope of actually saving taxpayers money, but would actually end up being a new entitlement. Well, lo and behold, about a year and a half after this thing passed, the administration finally conceding that, you know what, it probably won't save money. So they're scrapping it, even though they still think it's a really good idea. And, of course, that means that their flimsy financial arguments have even flimsier foundations now. That's not good for taxpayers long term, but it's good for the effort to roll back Obamacare, which seems increasingly weak.
You kind of love the incongruency here of the president's top administrator managing this whole program, Kathleen Sebelius, saying, look, we can't make this work. As Obama is fond of saying, it's just math. And so that for all purposes, this program is dead, and Republicans say, okay, let's legally repeal it, and Obama issues a veto threat. Don't you dare repeal the thing that my own people are saying is unworkable. How dare you agree with Kathleen Sebelius? Like if he really thinks that, why is he not firing Sebelius? Why is he not saying, don't tell me the numbers don't work. Make up numbers if you have to, but I will make this work. Kind of surprised. I mean, like, even by the standards of Obama and the political side getting into, you know, running into reality at top speed and shattering and trying to ignore those impacts like a crash test dummy or something, Obama just does not want to deal with this. And so he's, you know, continue to go forward. And I guess the idea is that, well, if you repeal any part of Obamacare, I mean, they insisted the whole time the whole thing was a seamless garment, so to speak, that you could not pull one thread out of Obamacare because otherwise the whole thing would fall apart. Well, here's one part just fundamentally not functioning. And oh, by the way, it means Harry Reid completely lied through his teeth while defending this program. Once again, way to go, Nevada. But we've just ended up with this circumstance in which I don't know if Obama has anything else to do other than to just pretend that it works. Pretend that nobody notices what Sebelius is saying and just, you know, hold his breath and hold up shiny objects to distract people between now and Election Day, because he's kind of out of other additional options here.
I guess the good news is that it is being scrapped, even though they still won't admit that it's wrong. But that's typical Obama. Even when reality is smacking him in the face and hard, doesn't mean he's actually going to change his admission of anything in that program, because it's really, again, the only major piece of policy legislation that he got through. And so he's got to sort of be able to defend it in the campaign next year. And that's going to be increasingly difficult, which is always very nice. On to martini number two now, Jim. And it was just yesterday we played a clip from President Obama saying that if Dr. King was alive today, you know, these people who are upset with the way Wall Street is working would have every right to be upset, but they should do it with civility and, you know, with character and integrity in how they describe what's going on with the other side. Well, the president on day one, in fact, I think in the very first speech on his supposed jobs tour, it's really a campaign swing through North Carolina and Virginia. But in Asheville, North Carolina, the president was touting his now piece-by-piece jobs bill strategy because the Democratically-controlled Senate rejected his full jobs bill. So the president once again laid out his plan, touting infrastructure. And, you know, without this, we're not going to have enough teachers or police officers and firefighters and so forth. And so then, like he always does, he tries to put up a straw man from what the other side is saying. But this one just takes the cake.
And then you got their plan, which is, let's have dirtier air, dirtier water, less people with health insurance. All right, so far at least, I feel better about my plan.
So because Republicans want to roll back new regulations that would essentially cripple the coal industry, trigger rolling blackouts because the coal industry would be crippled and therefore electricity would be less plentiful, and, oh yes, repeal Obamacare, which a vast majority of the American people want to repeal, we get that. Dirtier air, dirtier water, and less people with coverage. Not exactly playing fair there, but I guess we shouldn't be all that surprised, Jim.
You know, Greg, I believe in the beginning of that speech, he literally began by saying how happy he was to escape the partisan politics of Washington. I'm not kidding, you know. So, you know, and then, of course, he goes out and demonizes all of the opposition. But I love that line, he feels good about his plan. It's kind of interesting. One, I'm not surprised that this is a president who's very in touch with his feelings, despite all this talk that he's cold and calculating and can't empathize with people. Because if you think about it, he said that in his heart, we'd always be a AAA country. That no matter what the credit ratings said, he would always feel good about our credit rating. And that was almost as good. Also, he says he feels better about his plan. I don't know how he feels about the American people. If you'll remember, Greg, we've gone soft on him.
Right.
Which is, you know, I mean, he's disappointed in us. We've let him down. And so I really think I hope all Americans hang their heads in shame a little bit, knowing that Obama, working his 4 days a week, going to fundraiser after fundraiser, working to the point of exhaustion on the golf course. I mean, this guy, nobody talks to caddies about for job creation plans the way President Obama does. We just haven't been pulling our weight this way. And I think we're let us down. And, you know, Michelle Obama said during the campaign that for the first time in her adult life, she was finally proud of her country. I'm just not so sure Michelle's proud of us anymore. So I guess I hope all the listeners out there know that, you know, we've let him down, but he still feels good about our credit rating and he feels good about his plan. And if we love him, and as we all know, we must love him, for he is the beneficent sun god, we must, you know, pass his plan. So I hope everyone will get on the stick and do that, because, you know, otherwise we'd really let him down. And as we all know, this all comes down to Obama's feelings.
If you thought the president was on edge yesterday, then there's a lot more drama for the president today, because there are a few things I can imagine, Jim, that would create more stress for the president than the fact that his teleprompter and podium have been kidnapped from Enrico, Virginia, where he's headed a little bit later in this bus tour. And without his teleprompter and without his podium, this guy's basically left with nothing. So I don't know if he's already got the FBI hostage rescue team trying to negotiate with the kidnappers. You know, the demands could be pretty outrageous.
Obama does the negotiations himself. None of this underling stuff.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the negotiations are like, but I'm pretty sure a president willing to put us another $5 trillion in debt will stop at nothing to get back his greatest crutch.
You know, you thought he looked intense in the photo they took when they were doing the bin Laden raid. I think he just had that stare on his face the entire time. I'm glad that we finally have an idea for season 8 of 24. You don't talk about a high stakes, a presidency held hostage, you know. This is the best story ever. I've been waiting all through the first two martinis to just think about all the drama and fun you could have. I mean, we all know that Barack Obama's teleprompter has its own blog and Twitter feed, right?
Right.
You know, it hasn't been as active as it used to be, but I just got word this morning that he has gotten a message out from captivity describing the ordeal, apparently from the message. I've been kidnapped, and if big guy thinks he can negotiate with these guys the same way he talks to the terrorists in Lebanon, Afghanistan, Egypt, Somalia, Sudan, Libya, the Philippines, Mexico, Venezuela, and the House Republican Conference, he'd better think twice. These guys talk a good game, because just last night, after big guy announced he was resubmitting his rejected jobs bill piece by piece so the Republicans could understand it, one of my captors said, maybe we should send him back his teleprompter piece by piece. So, and then it says, since we can light up what we were saying in the second martini, I'm not sure I want to go back. Republicans want to make America dirtier? Really? That's the best speechwriters can come up with? Has big guy caught a whiff of what's down at Freedom Plaza near the White House or up on Wall Street? No, that's dirty. Boy, oh boy, these are dramatic times we live in. I'm actually half kidding. This is exactly the kind of zany story we've needed from
that's
TOTUS. Our prayers are with you. TOTUS, of course, is the teleprompter of the United States.
Teleprompter of the United States, exactly. And, you know, if the president, as you suggest, does negotiate all of this with the captors, without the use of his teleprompter, this could take forever. I mean, you have seen his responses to questions at press conferences and elsewhere when he doesn't have it scripted and there's, you know, 50 uhs for every sentence. This could absolutely take hours, if not days, and we don't have that much time. We have to have another speech on the stump in a minute here. Another advocacy message for the jobs plan.
To paraphrase Jack Bauer, darn it, I don't have time to explain.
Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.